all so quiet. Usually it's so loud right before I start. I don't know what to do. Good morning.
Morning.
It is so good to have you here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. How many of you are glad you're here? How many of you, the jury's still out? No, okay. Whoa, that's good. That is really good. All right, well, if you are a guest with us this morning, I want to say welcome. And hopefully when you came in this morning, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you'll just take a moment and fill that out and then drop it in the offering plate or leave it at the information table out in the foyer, that'll just give us an idea that you were with us this morning. So that's something very, very important. And hopefully everybody, when they came in, you received a bulletin. And if you did, take it out and let's go over some of the things that are going to be happening. So tonight at 6:30, we have an Awana leaders meeting. So if you've indicated that you'd like to help in Awana, you've been helping in Awana, this meeting is for you. So it's going to be right here at the church at 6:30. Our Awana commander has some very, very important information she wants to share with us as we get ready to start our youth ministry of Awana. If you don't know what Awana is, come afterwards and ask me, and I'll try to explain it to you. I might know a little bit about Awana. And for those of you that have been around a long time, you get that, right? Right, Dave? That I know a little bit about Awana? Okay. Okay. All right. And so then Saturday, men's breakfast at Larry Patrick's house again. And Larry just told me he bought a whole bunch of bacon, William. A whole bunch. So I told him, for you and me, that would be plenty. I don't know what the rest of the guys are going to have, but anyway, that's okay. So men, come and join us. And if you are a guest with us and this fits into your calendar to be able to come, we would love to have you come and join us. And there are directions to Larry's house, and there's more details. And if you have any questions about it, see me, and I'll answer some of those questions for you, because I'm all about breakfast, okay, just like I'm all about Awana. So that'll be really, really good. And then out on the information table, we have our Daily Bread devotional books. We also have all kinds of other information out there. Next Sunday is your last opportunity to bring your items for Uganda. So keep that in mind. If you are still getting and collecting some things for Carissa and Kayla to take to Uganda, next Sunday is the last Sunday that you can bring things for. That's because they're in the process now of getting things packed. Isn't that right? Okay. And so they don't want to be packing at the last minute, which I don't blame them. And we don't really want them to be able to be doing that as well. So Awana first night flyers and permission forms. Those of you that have children or grandchildren who are a part of Lake Hazel Bible Church, you have those in your mailboxes, so you might want to check your mailboxes before you leave today. Also today and next Sunday, you can pre-register your children or grandchildren for the coming year right after the morning service, and that'll be done in the back of the sanctuary. So if you have any questions about that, see me or see Becky, and we'll try to get those answered for you, all right? I think those are all of the things that I wanted to cover. I just was given some really great news right before I came up here to do the announcements. Do you want to hear it? You're sure? It's really great. You're sure? All right. So David and Brianna told me that they are 9 weeks pregnant. Isn't that great? Isn't that good? So we need to pray for them that everything will go well with their pregnancy, and that everything will go well. And we'll have at least one baby in the nursery in a few months. Won't that be great? That'll be good. I told them, we have a nursery. We have people on standby ready and waiting to be able to take care of a baby in the nursery. And so so we're excited about that. We're excited for both of you, David and Brianna. Thank you for allowing me to share that with our church family. Well, you know what? That's a cause for praise. Amen. But because we're here, that's a cause for praise. And because Jesus is here, that's even more of a cause for praise. Amen? Amen. All right. Yes, so you're ready to praise? Let's do it.
Stand up on your feet. Let's praise him. Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O word, his his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. Be our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. As we continue this morning, let's pray together real quick. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity we can get together in your house and sing praises to you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the awesome God over all creation. Lord, we love you. We're here for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. When he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz. Our God is an awesome God. There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists. Our God is an awesome God. The Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. There wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. When the sky was starless in the void of the night, our God is an awesome God. He spoke into the darkness and created the light. Our God is an awesome God. Judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. Mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. One more time. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Give the Lord a round of applause. Come on. He is worthy of your praise. He is worthy. Amen. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name, you are worthy. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Creation, I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. With all creation. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Lord Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, precious Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Oh, worthy is your name. Jesus, name above all names, blessed, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord. Jesus, the name above all names, our beautiful Savior. Lord, we came here for you this morning. We came here to lift you high. We came here to say that you are our all in all. Whatever things we came into this place with, we can put them at the foot of the cross. We can lay them, our burdens, on your shoulders, and you bear them up for us. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your comfort. We love you, Lord, and we praise you today. Amen. We're going to sing the last couple of verses to the song, which you may or may not remember. And as we do that, our usher is going to take this morning's offering.
Jesus, loving shepherd, vine of the branches, Son of God. Wonderful Counselor, Lord of the universe, Light of the world. Praise Him, Lord above all lords, King above all kings, God's only Son, the Prince of Peace, who by His Spirit comes to live in us, Master and Friend.
Let's re-sing verse 1, Jesus.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord. Blessed Redeemer, Living Word.
How blessed we are to have a Redeemer, because you couldn't redeem yourself. I couldn't redeem you. Only Jesus could do that for us. So for the last couple of weeks, we've been studying the tabernacle. And remember, the tabernacle was given to the Israelites for a couple different purposes. One of the purposes was to be able to remind them of God's presence. And He did that by allowing the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night to always rest over the Holy of Holies. So whenever the tabernacle was erected, the people of Israel could look and they could see God's presence with them, not only through the cloud and not only through the pillar of fire, but also through the very tabernacle itself. The tabernacle was also a place that God had given them to be able to come and to be able to worship, to be able to worship God and worship God alone. Because remember, Moses was up on Mount Sinai for 40 days. And the Israelites got a little bit impatient with Moses and a little bit impatient with God, or maybe a lot. And they made a golden calf. Remember that? And then they said, here is the God that brought us out of Egypt. Here is the God that has done so much for us. And God said, oh, okay, you need straightened out. So He gave them the instructions to be able to build the tabernacle. The tabernacle was also given to the nation of Israel to be able to point them to something that was going to take place later on in God's timing, later on in God's plan of history, later on in the future. And that was to point to the cross, the day when the Messiah would die on that cross to be the Redeemer, to be the Savior, to be the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. You see, all of the saints in the Old Testament, all of those Israelites who believed in God that he was going to send to them a Messiah. He was going to send to them a Savior. He was going to send to them a spiritual deliverer. They looked forward to the cross. We, after Jesus died on that cross, we as believers today, we look back to the cross. But God's plan didn't change. God's plan stayed the same. All the way from Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden until mankind's sin, even here in the 21st century. It's important for us to be able to know that. Last week, we looked at the tabernacle. We looked at the fence that went around the tabernacle. And a couple things that were unique about this was the fence was so high that you couldn't climb over it. Because there was only one way to get into the tabernacle, the door. There was only one door. Remember that? Just like there's only one way to salvation today, and that is through believing in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? God's plan doesn't change. The Bible tells us God is the same yesterday, today, and he's going to be the same when? On into forever. So whatever it is that you're going through today, just remember, God knows. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And no one or nothing changes that plan or that purpose. So whatever it is you're experiencing, whether it's good or whether it's maybe not so good, just keep that in mind. God knows what he's doing. And he's proven that over and over and over. And you know what? That's not going to change, just like his plan doesn't change. Well, today we're going to look at a piece of furniture in the tabernacle. A few years ago, USA Today conducted a survey and asked Americans who were wealthy how much they would be willing to spend on three intangible items: great intellect, true love, and a place in heaven. They found that the super wealthy would be willing to spend an average of $407,000 for great intellect, $487,000 for true love, $640,000 for a place in heaven. So how much would you be willing to pay for these items? How much would you pay to be smart, to have true love, to have a place in heaven? Well, we all know in all reality, right, that we really can't buy those things. You might be able to buy a good education, but you can't purchase intelligence. You might find a person who'd give you affection for a price, but that's not really true love. And the Bible repeatedly tells us wealth can do many good things, but it won't buy you a place in heaven. How do we get to heaven? By believing in Jesus as Savior. Nothing more, nothing less. All right? And so, why? Because sin has a high cost. And that high cost isn't something you're able to pay, and it isn't something that I'm able to pay. Only one was able to pay that: Jesus, sent from heaven. God come in the flesh, who lived, was born not in sin, lived not a life filled with sin or even tainted by sin. He was perfect. He was sinless. He's the only one who could go to the cross to pay that high cost of your sin, that high cost of my sin, that high cost of the sin of the whole world. So here in Exodus chapter 27, God gave the Israelites a reminder of the high cost of sin. So turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 27, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. So follow along with me as I read these verses. God says, "You shall make the altar of acacia wood 5 cubits long." Now remember, a cubit is 18 inches. So as I throw numbers out at you as I'm reading God's word, you can do the math. I can't. You can. Okay? "You shall make the altar of acacia wood 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be square, and its height shall be 3 cubits. and you shall make horns for it on its four corners. Its horns shall be of one piece with it, and you shall overlay it with bronze. You shall make pots for it to receive its ashes, and shovels, and basins, and forks, and fire pans. You shall make all its utensils of bronze. You shall also make for it a grating, a network of bronze, and on the net you shall make four bronze rings at its four corners. And you shall set it under the ledge of the altar so that the net extends halfway down the altar. And you shall make poles for the altar, poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with bronze. And the poles shall be put through the rings so that the poles are on the two sides of the altar when it is carried. You shall make it hollow with boards. And it has been shown to you on the mountain as it shall be made. Now, remember, as we've been looking at this tabernacle, we've been talking about the colors of the tabernacle. And inside the tabernacle, you will find the color gold, you'll find it silver, and you will find it bronze. Now remember, gold is the picture of what? Royalty and majesty. Silver is the picture of redemption, and bronze is the picture of judgment. So, the very first piece of furniture inside the tabernacle reminded the priest of God's judgment of sin. Because remember, only the priest could enter into the inner part of the tabernacle. Everybody else had to stay in the outer court. And the outer court was anything that was outside the white linen fence. Only the priest could enter into the tabernacle. And only they could go to the holy place. And only the high priest could go farther on into the tabernacle, beyond the veil, into the Holy of Holies. Remember that? As we covered that last week. Now, God's word uses the word altar 433 times. So remember what I sometimes remind you of. If God says something once, it's important. If God says something more than once, it's really important. 433 times. I think the altar has special significance, don't you? So the first time that it's mentioned is in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20, when Noah came off of the ark, along with his family and along with the animals that had gone onto the ark, and he built an altar to God. Also, throughout the book of Genesis, Abraham built an altar everywhere that he went. Why? Because they knew the importance of being able to sacrifice on that altar. Now, there are two altars in the tabernacle. There's the altar of sacrifice, which is the one we're talking about today, and the altar of incense. And the word altar means to lift up. So when I think about that, my heart and my mind goes back to John chapter 12 and verse 32, when Jesus stated, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Kind of keep that in mind as we go through the rest of the message this morning. So, the first piece of furniture inside the tabernacle would be the altar of sacrifice. The altar was square. Each side was 7 feet 5 inches wide and 4 feet 5 inches high. It is the largest piece of all of the tabernacle furniture. In fact, it was so large that it could hold the other pieces of furniture in the tabernacle, and it was covered in bronze. A mesh or grate of brass is inside, midway down in the altar where the offerings are burnt. So when the Israelites would bring their sacrifice to the tabernacle, and the priests would come and they would meet them at the door, and the priests would open up the curtain, which was the door or the gate of the tabernacle, and he would receive from them that sacrifice. And then he would take that sacrifice and he would prepare it, and then he would lay it on the altar of sacrifice in order to be offered up to God as a covering for the sin of the Israelites. Now, once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would take a sacrifice, not the same sacrifice, but a sacrifice that was set apart that was without spot, without blemish, without disease, and he would lead that sacrifice into the Holy of Holies. And there he would sacrifice on an altar that sacrifice for a covering for all of the nation of Israel. Remember, all of the sacrifices that were done in the tabernacle, that were done in the temple, all the way up until the time of Jesus, all of those sacrifices were nothing more than a covering for sin. Only when Jesus had his body broken and his blood shed on the cross could he be the Lamb of God that just didn't cover sin, but took away the sin of the world. The utensils for the altar of sacrifice were made from brass. Now remember, brass is the representation of what? Judgment. So every time that this altar was used, every time that the tools of this altar was used, it was a reminder to the priest of God's judgment. It was a reminder of the high cost of sin. Every time that the tabernacle was taken down and the utensils were packed up by the Israelites were reminded, because they were made out of brass, of the high cost of sin. So the utensils of the altar of sacrifice were to be used to get rid of ashes, to carry blood into the Holy of Holies. The forks would allow the priests to move the sacrifice as needed. The fire pans were used to move the coals of fire from place to place when the tabernacle was transported, because there was to be a continual fire. The first time that the tabernacle was erected and all of the furniture was built and was put in place, the first time there was a sacrifice to be altered on the altar of sacrifice, God sent fire down from heaven to be able to consume and accept that sacrifice. And from that moment on, that fire was never to go out. So they would have to carry that fire with them as they were transporting the tabernacle from place to place. That fire was not ever to go out. And the priests also used bronze fire pans to move the fire from the altar of sacrifice into the Holy of Holies to the altar of incense. Got that picture? If you need more of a picture, don't forget there's a model of the tabernacle on the back table. So maybe after the service, you might want to go by and take a look at it. Now, the altar of sacrifice had three distinct names. It is called the altar because it's a altar. Okay? So this spoke of its importance. It is called the brazen altar. Okay? Not because it's fearless, but because it's made of what? Bronze. Okay? This was a place of judgment. It was also called the altar by the gate because it was the first thing that met the priest's eyes upon entering the gate, entering the door to the tabernacle. Now, there's a couple things that I want us to look at this morning to help prepare us for communion this morning in relation to this altar of sacrifice. First, the altar of sacrifice reveals that sin is a terrible thing. Because the altar of sacrifice was so central to the tabernacle, the first truth that God reveals to the Israelites was about the tragic nature of their sins. As they led this innocent, perfect lamb or perfect animal to the door of the tent to be sacrificed by the priest on the altar of sacrifice, it cost them. Whether they raised that animal or not, or whether they purchased that animal from those who did raise animals for the very important purpose of sacrifice, that sacrifice cost them. It wasn't free. It came at a cost. Why? So that they would understand that sin has a cost. There was a man that had worked for years in a meatpacking plant. He had cut the throats of many animals. He had heard the cattle bellow, the birds squawk, and pigs squeal. But one day, a farmer brought a lamb to the packing plant to be slaughtered. With business as usual, the man took his sharp knife and cut the lamb's throat. But the lamb did not squawk and flop like the birds did, and it didn't squeal and flounder like the pigs. The lamb did not bellow and slump like the cattle. Instead, the little lamb just silently stood before the man. With blood flowing from its throat, the lamb tottered towards its executioner and licked the blood from his hands, and then began to totter from side to side. Then it silently slumped to the floor and died. Even though this man was used to killing animals on a regular basis, this disturbed him. For the remainder of the day, the lamb's death occupied his mind. That night began a series of sleeplessness. After almost a month of restless nights and days, the man went to his supervisor and said, "I quit. The death of that lamb was more than I can bear. I cannot kill another animal. All I can think of is the death of that lamb." Now, that man could stop working at the meat packing plant, but Israel couldn't stop offering its sacrifices. Sacrifices were required to cover their sins. And the cost of our sin calls for a horrible price: death. The death of God's one and only Son, sent from heaven to go to the cross for you, for me, for the whole world. The altar reveals also that Jesus would come to die for our sin. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12 says, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption." That's why we can call him our Redeemer, because he went to that cross for us. He was a tent not made with hands, because he was sinless. He was perfect. Jesus shed his blood for our sin. So there is something about this altar in the tabernacle that teaches us what Jesus did one day on a cross, on a place called Calvary. Notice what the altar is made of. God said, "Make the altar of acacia wood." Wood? It's kind of strange for an altar to be made of wood. Why? Because wood burns. We know that, right? We see the forest fires that are told to us, that are burning around us. But God knew that, so he instructed that the altar be covered with bronze. Now remember, bronze or brass is a picture of what? Judgment. So many years ago, scientists made a discovery. They found that if they took a wooden door and encased it in copper so that it was perfectly sealed, then the door literally became fireproof. Wood won't burn when it's encased with certain metals like bronze. And bronze is an alloy made of a mixture of copper and tin. Centuries later, there would be another altar made of wood. When Jesus died on Golgotha's hill, on what did he die? A cross. What was the cross made of? Very good, class. Wood. Okay? It can be said that the sacrifice of Jesus for our sins was made on an altar of wood, just like the sacrifice that was necessary for the Israelites when they brought that sacrifice to the tabernacle, and then later on to the temples. Was made out of what? Wood. You know, when I think about that, I'm reminded of that old hymn, "The Old Rugged Cross." You know, when I was younger, I was being raised by my grandma and my grandpa and my Aunt Charlotte, my grandma would wash the dishes and she would sing "The Old Rugged Cross." When she was washing the clothes and I would be helping her, because I would do the wringer, Yeah, we didn't have, you know, the fancy washing machines that we have today. We didn't have the fancy dryers we had today. We had a dryer that was made by clothesline. Isn't that amazing? And so, you know, we had this big tub, and it had this thing, and it had this handle, and that was the wringer. And so you would wash the clothes inside the big tub, and then you would put the clothes up through the wringer, and then you would turn the handle, and the clothes would go through the wringer. Those of you who have no idea what Pastor's talking about, go home and Google it, okay? All right. And you'll go, what? That's way too much work. I'm used to just pushing buttons, throwing in Tide Pods and, you know, putting them in this dryer and pushing buttons. And when the sound goes ding, all right, then I know that the clothes are wet, dry. And then I take them out and I put them in a basket, and then Mom comes along and folds them. Yeah, that wasn't the way that it used to be. You would have to take them outside, put them on the clothesline, wait for them to dry, and then bring them back in and then fold them. And if they were wrinkly, you had to do what? Iron them. And if you don't know what an iron is, look it up. All right? So she would sing the old rugged cross. And it goes like this. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Now, what made that rugged cross? What made that cross rugged? Wood. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. The emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Now, acacia wood is a common wood found in the desert. And like many desert plants, it has a defense system that protects it. That defense system? Thorns. When Jesus was crucified, we're told the soldiers stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." We find that recorded for us in Matthew chapter 27. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Now, we've seen, you know, movies, and we've seen maybe even watching, you know, royalty be crowned a king or queen in certain places around the world. And we see how gently, right? How gently that crown is placed upon their head. That didn't happen with Jesus. They took this crown of thorns and they placed it on his head, and then they pushed it down into his skull so that the blood would go down his face, go down the back of his head, the back of his neck. They put this crown of thorns on his head so that it wouldn't slip off during the rest of the things that they were going to have Jesus endure on his way to that rugged cross. They didn't put it on there gently. They put it on there so that it would stay. Now, I don't know what kind of thorns made up this crown. The Bible doesn't tell us. But maybe, just maybe, they were from an acacia tree. What do you think? So the altar of sacrifice also had four horns. Remember what it said in verse 2 here in Exodus chapter 27? "And you shall make horns for it on its four corners. Its horns shall be of one piece with it, and you shall overlay it with bronze." Four horns on the altar? What are they there for? Well, Psalm 118, verse 27 says, the Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. Now, that's kind of strange. The sacrifice was already dead. Why would you want to tie it to the horns of the altar? Well, the cords held the sacrifice to the horns of the altar, but it wasn't the cords that really held the offering there. The offering had already given its life to cover the sins of the people. You know, I was thinking a lot about that, especially in light of communion. In a similar way, the nails didn't hold Jesus on that cross. Remember, Jesus went to that cross by his own choice. Remember what he said? No one takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly. And Jesus stayed on that cross and died for you and me by his own choice. Remember Jesus, right after Peter had cut off the ear of the servant when the Roman soldiers had come to be able to meet Jesus and then take him from the Garden of Gethsemane to begin the trials, the mistrials, the sham trials. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, why did you do that? Put your sword away. Don't you know that I could have called to my Father and he would have sent legion of angels to be able to remove me from this situation? This is what I have to do, Jesus went on to be able to say. Jesus stayed on that cross and died for you and me by his own choice. No ropes, no nails, no army of men could have kept him there had he decided otherwise. Why? Because there was a high cost for sin. And God gave that picture way back when he gave the instructions to the Israelites for the tabernacle and for the altar of sacrifice. So as we come to communion this morning, I want you to remember, it was God's love, it was God's mercy, and God's grace alone that held Jesus on the cross. I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table.
Emmanuel.
Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Let's remember Jesus.
Seated for this last song. Sometimes we need a little reminder, just like today, thank you, Sam, that no matter how out of control things seem, God is still God, and He's still in control when the world seems on fire. When fear is closing in, you tell my heart be still, 'cause the whole world is in your hands. When darkness covers me, the light breaks when you speak, 'cause the whole is in your hands. Yeah, the whole world is in your hands. You are God when the world is on fire. When it seems out of control, you are God of infinite power. Unrivaled Lord of all, and the whole world is in your hands. I won't be overwhelmed by things I cannot change, 'cause the whole world is in your hands. Yeah, the whole world is in your hands. You are God when the world is on fire. When it seems out of control, you are God of infinite power, unrivaled Lord of all, and the whole world is in your hands.